Yeah? Okay, so we're on the 12-step program, going to detox from chametz and get ourselves into the Pesach mode. So I've identified what I think is 12 important steps in trying to acclimatize ourselves to the Pesach reality. And the first thing we're going to talk about is food, because we're Jewish, we like to talk about food. There's something on Pesach that we eat and something on Pesach that we drink, and I refer specifically to the Seder night. The matzah is biblical, the wine is rabbinic. We're supposed to eat matzah on the night of the Seder, and we're supposed to drink wine on the night of the Seder. And these are very important things. It's called Chag HaMatzos, it's called the Festival of Wine. And in Midrashic writing, sometimes these are called days of not only matzah, but days of wine. Pesach is referred to sometimes as a holiday which is very much connected to wine. We know that the wine, not only is it the beverage of liberty and freedom, but as the Gemara tells us, but in addition to this also, it says in Rishonim that this is connected to the concept of an embodiment of the blood, either the blood that was spilled, Jewish blood that was spilled, or the payment that Hashem exacted from our enemies. And it's interesting to note that, tragically, over history, we, the Jewish people, were accused of blood libels. And the way they came to the blood libels was because of this idea that the wine could look like blood. And that's why in some communities, the Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch, they even stopped using red wine altogether, because this became such a dangerous thing. Anyway, I'm saying this all as kind of a preamble as to why we're talking about wine and matzah, why we're starting off with that. So this is taken from the different excerpts of the Rebbe's talks over the years. The copies in front of you are from a book called Shaarei HaGadah. And we're going to start off with the idea of the matzah. So I'll read in Hebrew and translate. Kishem shemisbara kaisis shayach letechen chag ha-pesach v'yitzias mitzrayim. Just like the amount of cups that are drunk, and you cannot put a large amount of wine in a tumbler and drink it, you wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. The mitzvah is four cups. Emphasis, four glasses of wine. And you may want to get yourself smaller cups because you have to actually drink the cup of wine. So if you have four cups, would have a modicum amount, it's much better than having one large tumbler that has twice the amount. The point is to have four cups. So just as the numbers of cups that we drink, it's not just we drink wine on Pesach, we drink four cups of wine on Pesach, and we do it at particular intervals over the course of the Seder, and that this is shayach, this is connected to the teuchen, to the content and the meaning of the festival of Pesach and the whole idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, namely, Arba Kaisis, four cups, Keneged correspond to Arba Lishonis Shel Geula, four different expressions of redemption which are found in the biblical narrative. So Kach, so too, Mispera Matzeis, the number of matzahs which are taken on the proverbial Seder plate, on the Kaira, Shalosh, which are three, Shayach l'mashma'usa v'sibasa shel achilas matzah. This is connected to the message of matzah, to the ideal and motif of matzah, which we emphasize in the Haggadah, matzah zu sh'ano eichlum, we say this matzah that we eat, al shum ma, why do we eat it? We actually give a reason for it. And the reason is surprising. It's not what most people tend to think. Al shum shenigalu avesenu mimitzrayim, because our ancestors were redeemed from the land of Egypt, and when they were redeemed, Hashem revealed Himself, and so on and so forth. And the chametz was unable to turn into the dough was unable to turn into chametz, and instead it became matzah. So what's the question? Why is there four cups of wine and three matzahs? There should be four matzahs too. If the number four corresponds to the stages of redemption, which this is a whole discussion in Torah literature, why four and why those stages, and everything from the writings of the Rishonim down to the non-Hasidic Achronim and to beautiful teachings of Chassidus explain what the four languages of redemption represent. I actually have at least one class of mine about this, about the four languages. And that's what the cups then reflect. They reflect Arba L'Shein Shel Geula. Hashem spoke about our redemption in four different ways. Okay, so if He spoke about our redemption in four different ways, And wine is the beverage of royalty, of luxury, of freedom, of liberty. So then naturally, how many cups do we drink? 4 cups of wine. And the Gemara is very clear about this. It's not about the amount of wine, although there has to be a modicum amount in each cup in order to fulfill the responsibility, the obligation that the sages placed upon us, but the emphasis is on drinking 4 cups of wine, 4 glasses of wine. Then why do we have 3 matzahs? If the number 4 is a Pesach number, I'm not even talking about the four children who we have to engage with, the 4 different ways we have to engage in telling the story, but here there's a clear emphasis on Arba L'Shein Shel Geula, on 4 different expressions of redemption. So naturally, it would seem, it's appropriate to have 4 matzahs too. And why don't we? I only have 3 matzahs. Ubiyirayin. So this is our Rebbe's explanation as to why, when it comes to the glasses of wine, 4 would be the number to go with. When it comes to the matzah, the number is specifically 3. Hamatzah, hi lechem oini. Matzah has a number of names. Chiefly, it's called bread of affliction. The term oini is also used with regard to Yom Kippur. It says we fast. Because ve'inisem es nafshei sechem, you afflict your souls. It talks about denial. It talks about the opposite of luxury and pleasure. And the matzah is not luxurious by any stretch. The matzah is a kind of bread she'ein baitam. It doesn't have any taste. Not by accident. It pointedly doesn't have taste. In fact, egg matzah is not even really kosher for Pesach unless you're ill. Or maybe certain Sephardic Jews would eat it, but like the notion of flavored matzah, though, which could be kosher, possibly if you mix different spices in, which might be kosher for Pesach, would not be kosher for the Seder. That would not be matzah's mitzvah. That might be not chametz, and that's okay as long as it's not chametz. You can eat it, which is not the case with egg matzah. I'm not saying egg matzah is chametz, but it's a problem. It's a problem because of rabbinic decree. But even if you could have matzah which is flavored, matzah which you could add salt or other spices, it wouldn't make it for lechem oini. The lechem oini, the bread we eat at the Seder, is an emphasis on being dry, unvarnished, and ungarnished. It's straight flour and water, and that's all. Why? Why eat something without any taste? Do you know when we make a hamotzi a whole year, we dip the food that we're eating into salt, not only on Shabbos, not only Yom Tov. We dip it into salt, so it should have taste. That's why. That's why the halach is if you have no salt, you can use a condiment. It's called in Hebrew a liftan. The point is, then you eat. It should taste decent. It shouldn't be like chewing a dry crust. And there are even halachic authorities that say in today's day and age when our bread is not paschareva, it's not dry bread, it's not bread which is empty of taste, but our bread is quite tasty to begin with. They would have called our bread cake once upon a time. That maybe you don't even have an obligation anymore of salt. Or of using liftan. Once upon a time, the bread was really just basic. It was just bread. That's all it was. So on the night of the Seder, we don't use salt. Even though we still continue to use salt with our bread, the night of the Seder, the one night when we actually would need salt, because it really doesn't have any taste, we don't use it. Why? We don't want to flavor the bread. We don't want to flavor the matzah. We want it to be as basic as possible. Lechem oini. Why? Well, this is a zecher, this is a remembrance. L'matzavam shal Yisrael be'eis hayatziyam imitzayim. This brings to mind and recalls the way we were when we left the land of Egypt, slaves. But more importantly, not just slaves in the literal sense that we were in a state of bondage and we had been abused and we had been overworked. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking on a spiritual level. We were on what's called, we were kind of raw. We didn't really understand this whole spiritual business. We didn't really get this whole thing of God. And so we were clueless. We were really clueless. We did not get it. It's not like Moshe captured our hearts and our minds and fired up our imagination with spiritual pursuit. Not it was not the case at all. In fact, we didn't even have any mitzvahs to leave Mitzrayim. We needed to have 2 mitzvahs. And Rashi famously quotes of Masi B'Chodesh saying that it's like we're like nothing. You got to have something, some kind of vehicle, somebody to hold on to the mitzvah with, something. So he said, okay, fine, give him 2 mitzvahs. That's the mitzvah of Bris Milah, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. We had nothing. If you would have stopped a Jew going out of Mitzrayim, say, could you please explain to me what does it mean to be Jewish? Do you think he would know? Think he understood? I don't know. He says, I have no idea. When Moses said, we're going. Where are you going? I don't know where we're going. getting some kind of Torah. We're just going. And we did not have a Havana B'Seichel. We did not have any kind of cerebral, intellectual appreciation of what was about to happen. And we didn't really have a fervor, a passion, or feeling in the heart either. So matzah zu shana eichlum, we say in the Haggadah, this matzah that we eat, why is it? Al shum shali hispik b'tzekesh laviseinu b'mitzrayim lahachmetz. Because our dough didn't manage to rise. Ad shenigla aleh melech malchei amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu go'olam. This is a quote from the Haggadah. Until the Almighty, the King of all kings, revealed himself and he redeemed them. Kiloimar, in other words, achilas hamatzah, when we eat matzah, mudgish, there's emphasis, shiatzias mitzrayim, hoysa ge'ula shaba'a milmaila, that the redemption from Egypt was God-oriented. It came from on high. It was not something that we saved up for, not something that we slowly developed an appreciation for. And we said, okay, we're starting to get into this, and we're experiencing inner transformation, and we're getting really, really excited, and we're filled with a passion and a fervor. And now at this point, we've come to the decision intellectually and emotionally, cerebrally, and on a level of feeling, we're going to do this. No, it's not the case at all. In fact, Hashem just took us out of Mitzrayim. Shekein b'nei Yisrael mitzad atzmam hoyo mishubadim lechalutin leMitzrayim. When we were in Egypt, we didn't even have minds of our own. We didn't have the ability to think about anything. All we could think about is the next meal or how to stay alive. We had been, in a sense, reduced to subhumans. We had no culture. We had no music. We had nothing to speak of. Whatever we could maybe absorb by just being in the environment in Egypt, we were actually totally Egyptian. And we were idolaters. We didn't have any kind of inner rhythm in our Yiddishkeit. And that's what the matzah represents. Here's a people who did not have all the things that you would expect in an emancipated nation. When we talk of modern-day terminology, and people try to make corollary between Mitzrayim, Yitzhiyam and Mitzrayim going out of Egypt, and people's civil rights movements, or liberation movements, or declarations of independence, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be a greater mockery of the Bible. Because all of these things, all these phenomena are cultural phenomena. It's a people that wants to break out of its oppression. It's a people that wants to declare itself to be free. It's a people that wants to reclaim some kind of legacy or some kind of glorious past. That's what these movements are about. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't mix it up with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Don't confuse that with the truth of Torah, because the truth of Torah was that we were not a people who yearned or craved freedom. We were not a people who was seeking some kind of reclamation of ancient glory. We weren't. We didn't know what it was about. We knew we had a grandparents, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. That's it. It was just like a vague knowledge. We were just slaves. We wanted to stay alive. That's all we wanted. We weren't interested in anything else. So how do we get out of Egypt then? Who was the great civil rights leader, the great revolutionary Moses? He hammered us together and he brought, no, a nechtigetag. Never happened that way. B'nei Yisrael mitzad atzmam mishubadim lachlut l'mitzayim. The Jewish people, the Hebrews, were slaves. And that's what they wanted to be. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to beg them and cajole them. And 4/5 didn't even want to leave anyway. It was not a popular movement. It was not a popular uprising. 4/5 couldn't win an election. It would be decimated. It would be called a landslide. Had you made a democratic referendum, are we leaving Egypt or not? What do you think the votes would have been? A resounding no. Landslide no. 80% says no. So how did we leave? How did this ever happen? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. It wasn't us. HaYitzarach LaHitziyam. And not only he took us out, he had to take us out in great haste, which is part of the message of the matzah, which is baked in great haste. Mitum as Mitzrayim, from the impurity of Egypt, Shabah Yashkuim, we were sunken in this impurity. And had we not been schlepped out of this impurity, we would have literally gone down the tubes. And Lochain, therefore Menachas Bekaira, we have in the Kaira, we have on the Seder plate, we have Sholish Matzas. We have three matzas, which are connected, correspond to Sholish Halashainus Hadashainus Shalgula. There are four in total, but here we're going to talk about the first three languages of redemption. What was the first? The first in Aleph is, Vehitzesi Eschem Mitachas Sivleis Mitzrayim. I will take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. Number two, Vehitzalti Eschem Avedasim. I will save you from their servitude. Number three, v'ga'alti eschem, I'll redeem you, v'zroya natuya, with an outstretched arm, u'bishvatim gdelim, with great judgment. Shakulam, all three of these, mevatim pratim shagu'ula, shaboyel mumayla. All three speak about redemption that comes from a higher place. The first one's v'hoitseisi, who took us out of Egypt? God says, I took you out of Egypt. I take you out. What's the next thing? V'hitzalti. V'hitzalti, I save you. V'go'alti, I redeem you. This is all God-oriented. This is God doing things for us. That's the matzah. So now let's go over, versus all this comes the glasses of wine. Arbo ha-koisis. The four glasses of wine, the umazois, conversely. Him shel yayin. They're wine. And of all edibles, wine is the food that has the greatest emphasis on taste. There, I know of no other food that people can sip and tell you the vintage and which field it grew in. I actually have a hard time believing that it's possible, but apparently it is. That people actually can taste wine and they tell you of which yield it is, which crop it is, and they can tell you which part of the world it grew in. And they get pretty close. French Bordeaux, whatever, yeah, they taste that wine and they smell it and swish it and spit it. I don't know what they're doing over there, but apparently, unless the whole thing is rigged, they actually know what they're talking about. They like 99 out of 100 times, the real professionals, they're bang on. What they say is right. You know, any food that tastes like that? Somebody tastes macaroni and tell you, oh, this macaroni? Bolivia, you know, 2016. Nobody can taste. Nobody. There's no other food, the wine that is such a personality that's so unique in its taste, like wine. B'yayin yesh tam. In wine there is taste. I'll only just for the point of making a humorous point. There's various whiskies and single malt whiskies, and they all taste different. Like anybody who knows his single malts knows his Glenlivet from his Glenfiddich. And he knows his Balmoray from his Achentushen and so on and so forth. That's very nice. But how come they always taste the same? How come Glenlivet 18 always tastes like Glenlivet 18? And Glenlivet 14 always tastes like Glenlivet 14? How come? Because it's baloney, that's why. Because all rigged. It's not a natural process. It's impossible. If it be a natural process, it could never taste the same each time. They do something. They play around with it. It's not possible. The wine never tastes the same. The French Bordeaux of whatever, Chateau Le Chvesejvas, never tastes exactly the same. Vaharaya, the person who tastes it, say, he goes 2016, 2014, 2012, 1989. He knows. These guys know. How do they know? It's the same place. Same grapes, same farmers, same farmhouse, the same building that the wine gets made in. Because wine is natural. Wine is real. It's the real deal. The real deal actually really has taste like that. And even if the other one is natural, which I have a hard time believing, even if it is natural, the fact is it doesn't have its unique personality. The Glenlivet 18 will always taste the same. But the wine never tastes exactly the same. It's always, generally speaking, it's never exactly the same. And the wines that always taste exactly the same, they're not really good wines. That's not the real wines will always taste differently. So that's what wine is about. It's about tam. V'lochein, therefore, b'neisif lihiyoseh zeche le'etzem ha'gu'ulu mi'mitzrayim. Besides that it's just a memory of going out of Mitzrayim, it doesn't just bring to mind redemption. Hamarumezes b'shalosh halashenis harashenis, which is alluded to in the first three expressions of redemption that we mentioned this morning. Humahava zecher gam lekach shahageula v'hacheres. It also comprises a memory, and it also creates this link, this bond between the freedom sheyeshna b'sefer shel davar. That the end product, not just the going out of Egypt, but it also alludes to and also brings to mind the final product, which is when we actually became a people. We actually do have a cause and a purpose and a mission. We actually do have a rhyme and a reason. Ad shehem yechushu bekelim shalohem es tam acheres. Ultimately, we have to taste freedom. We have to experience freedom in our own unique way, which means to unleash our own abilities, our own possibilities, as we're going to talk about tomorrow when we talk about step two, which will be freedom. V'lachei mispar ha-kaisis u'arba. Therefore, the number of glasses of cups of wine is not three, but specifically four. Gam keneged ha-loshen ha-revias, which also corresponds to the fourth expression. Fourth expression is v'lakachti eschem li la'am, The first three is all dialectical. We're being taken away from bad stuff. We're being redeemed. We're being saved from burdens. We're being taken out of burdens, pardon me, and we're being saved from servitude. We're being redeemed from taskmasters. The fourth is, v'lakachtem eschem lilam, we become God's nation. The fourth is that we come into our own. The fourth is that we are the Yiddishkeit. It's not just being saved from an enemy, but who are you? And this is where a lot of Jews get lost. They're great at protesting. They're great at going up against somebody who doesn't let them be a Yid. But how about when you could be a Yid? I have no time. I'm too busy. The Rebbe wrote countless letters to people who had come out of Soviet Russia. And the Rebbe wrote to them that the KGB is watching you. And they know that when you were in Russia, you were saying that you need freedom and you want to be able to serve God as a Jew. And now you're living in freedom and you're not doing it. The Rebbe said, they're using this. They're using you as an example to point out that it's not true. They said, you didn't really want Yiddishkeit. All you want is just to get out of Russia, and that's not good enough. If you really demonstrated your Yiddishkeit, you would be helping others, the Rebbe said. Right? So there's this idea that it's not just enough to be free. We want to be free of anger, be free of xenophobia, be free of hatred, be free of abuse, be free of all disparity, be free. And what? And what do you do with it? So when you have the freedom, what are you doing with it? Freedom is so near and dear to us. And what are you doing with that freedom? Do we utilize it? That's the big question. And that's the point. From going out of the negativity, we have to come into something. The matzah represents leaving behind the toxicity, getting out of the negative situation. The wine, on the other hand, represents not the reclamation, but the development of who we are actually supposed to become. Just like wine, it develops. It doesn't happen overnight. Wine is a process. And this fermentation process is a metaphor for our developing into Hashem's nation. Shalom Reis v'lakachti. Lakachti, God took us. That comes from on high. Saf kol saf, at the end, my friends. Hadavar tali bi Yisrael. It's all about to us. Lakachti eschem li la'am. Hashem said, I take you as a nation, but you have to be a willing partner. And that's why before Matan Torah, Hashem said, will you? He didn't say, will you leave Egypt? I'll put a mountain over your head. He said, you're leaving Egypt. We don't want to leave Egypt. Okay, then die in Egypt. Everybody either left Egypt. Either you left Egypt or you died in Egypt. Nobody stayed in Egypt. When it came to giving a Torah, we had to say yes. At some point, God had to almost coerce us to say yes, but we had to say yes. Why? Because you can't become a nation of Torah without acquiescing and agreeing to become a nation of Torah. Zui gamasiba, this is the reason. Shachilas matzah b'leila Pesach, that the eating of matzah is a mitzvah min ha-Torah. It's a biblical responsibility. It's a biblical mandate. Ve'ilu shtias arba kesis. When it comes to drinking the four glasses of wine, we say it's rak midrabanan. It's only of rabbinic nature. Bilel Yitzias Mitzrayim, on the night of the Seder, on the night when we commemorate Exodus from Egypt, Hoyserak HaGeulu Mumaylo, that's when a redemption happened from on high. We were taken out of Mitzrayim. Dover Shem is Bata, something which is expressed and embodied in the eating of matzah. V'ilu, however, Hashleimos Shavulakachti Eschem Lila'am, where Hashem allows us to become His people, but that means we have to get into this. Hamenu Mezes B'Yayin, which is something which is alluded to with the wine. This wasn't there at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. When did that happen? That doesn't happen for another 7 weeks. That only happens in Matan Torah. That only happens at the Festival of Shavuot. Therefore, on a biblical level, in Chiyuv Zebel El Pesach, this is not mandated on the night of Pesach. But in truth, that is what Pesach is really all about. And so that's why the sages mandated it, so the rabbis mandated it. This is like a representation of us taking initiative. The enactment of the sages is the Jewish people's embracing of Hashem, embracing of the message of freedom of liberation on Pesach. And so, now you understand that the disparity between the three matzahs and the four cups of wine is far more than a technicality, but in fact, it is intrinsically defining to what the message of Pesach and the true ideal and idea of spiritual freedom is really all about.
L'chaim. So each one of those redemptions had a